back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Rebecca Roth was our guest through the last hour, and now we're going to be joined by Pastor David Langford. He joins us each and every Wednesday in the third hour. The Voice of Evangelism is his website. We're going to get to him in just a second.
Hey, folks, how about Trading Post in the Woods? Have you gone there yet? TradingPostInTheWoods.com. What a great website. At Trading Post in the Woods, they teach you how to equip people, or they teach you how to equip yourselves. They teach people. They teach and equip people. How's that? I can do this. Honest, I can. Yeah, how not to be a victim of the problems when crisis does happen, when crisis breaks out, but instead to be the solution. They've got just an assortment of fantastic products. Let me tell you something. My favorite product, though, I hope I'm allowed to do this. My favorite product at TradingPostInTheWoods.com is the American Heritage Remedies Kit, the deluxe package. It's made especially for Hagman Report listeners, but they've got everything that you could possibly want in this package and stuff that works. You know, your grandmothers or great grandmothers, or in some cases, great great grandmothers, depending on your age. You know how they always had home remedies to fix you up? Well, Trading Post in the Woods is just that, but this goes a step above that, of course. Visit Trading Post in the Woods. Take a look at what they've got. They've got the knowledge to empower you. They've got the ability to teach you skills, and of course the supplies for you. That's TradingPostInTheWoods.com. TradingPostInTheWoods.com, and be sure to check out the American Heritage Remedies Kit special for the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Pastor Langford is our guest. Pastor, welcome back to the show.
I'm having a difficulty hearing you. Can I get some more volume?
Sure, we'll have Todd send that out.
More power, Scotty.
You in the middle of any storms right now, Pastor Langford? I know you got some disturbing weather down
the
way.
The storms have passed. I was listening previously, and a little bit of a breakup, but maybe now I've got enough volume to hear you guys.
Okay.
Any better?
Pastor, we can hear you fine. You're not breaking up at all, so go ahead, my friend.
Okay, great. I thought we would look tonight, since there's a lot of mysteries going on, we would maybe look at what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And the word mystery there in the Greek is mysterion, and it means a sacred secret. It is sacred because it is something that God Himself has concealed. When you read the word secret in the book of Daniel, and it's used there numerous occasions, I think 9 or 10 times, it has the same meaning in the Hebrew. And many times we see these words, mysteries, secrets, things that were sealed in the apocryphas, the books of Enoch, Jasher, those different writers, but of course we don't use those books for the fact of establishing doctrine. We use the Word of God that's been canonized for establishing doctrine. But my point is, God has told us there were going to be mysteries, there were going to be secret things. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, which He hath purposed in Himself. So there are a plethora of mysteries, but the greatest mystery, other than the mystery of redemption, that is the most far-reaching mystery in the world, and I don't think anyone can fully understand, you know, why Jesus had to come and die on a cross. I know that atoned for sins, but God knew from the foundation of the world that Adam was going to fall, so Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. But the next level of a mystery would be the lawlessness, and your previous guest was talking about that indirectly, the lawlessness. The lawlessness in this nation is beyond anything that we can really comprehend. I had an attorney tell me some time ago that the mortgage system, home mortgages, is a house of cards. it really only works because of faithful people who faithfully make their mortgage payment. If everybody stopped making their mortgage payments at one time, this thing would collapse. As you well know, if you pay off a piece of property now, you do not get your deed of trust back. You get a certificate of satisfaction. Out of all of the paperwork you sign at purchasing, buying a house, when you finally pay that house off, you get one piece of paper from the courthouse. It is a certificate of satisfaction. Well, what that tells me is this whole system is so vile and so corrupt, nobody really knows, for the most part, except this deep state, this shadow government. And I know people don't like to believe that there's such a thing, but when Paul, anointed by the Holy Ghost, said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work," we know there was a shadow religious government working in the days of Jesus, because Judas betrayed Jesus with a mere kiss. And it was over the love of money, 30 pieces of silver. And of course they conspired and they worked together, and he kissed Christ on the cheek. And that's the one they seized, that's the one they arrested, that's the one they gave this heinous, ruthless trial and then crucified him. There's a lot going on in the world right now that a lot of us don't see, we don't understand, we don't fathom. I believe under Donald Trump's administration, there's going to be another event that is going to be greater, more far-reaching, more cataclysmic than 9/11. I believe that because this is their way to circumvent what you see superficially as a nation, as a government. This is what's concealed. This is what the mysterion, this is the mystique that is underneath, underlying. And so when the American people rose up and they voted to put Donald Trump in, that did not stop this shadow government. That didn't stay anything. Their plans, Albert Pike, their plans, the Luciferians, the Satanists, their plans continue to go right on. And, you know, everyone in their world is expendable. You know, it's just like the drug cartel. You confiscate a jet airplane, that's just part of doing business. You confiscate a $30 million yacht, that's just a part of doing business. Well, this is just a part of doing business. And so Trump, that's why it's important that we pray for his protection, because he is an aberration. He is in the way of what they're wanting to accomplish. And it was nothing but the hand of God, folks, that put this in a pause position, that God stopped it. Now, it won't stay stopped. It won't stay like this. I hate to be negative, but the one world government is coming to fruition. The Bible has declared it. When you read the book of Daniel, and you read about Nebuchadnezzar and the stature, and you get down to the toes mixed with iron and clay, this kingdom is coming. It's without a doubt coming. You read Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 13. This beast government is coming. It can't be stopped. Now, God can stay it, postpone it, delay it, but nevertheless, it will come to fruition. And so I believe right now, Donald Trump was a game changer. And so what they're doing, they're working on another scenario to accomplish what they will. And I keep saying this, and I know it's redundant, you probably get tired of hearing it, but, you know, Proverbs 21, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. All of this is coming, and we need to remain prepared and aware and sober to what's taking place. I mean, we just watched the lying Susan Rice. What a lying heathen reprobate. These people did not go anywhere. They are still in place. They are still posturing. They are still jockeying. And it's always like, I look at it kind of like a county sheriff. You know, he's elected. He can be voted out after 4 years. But the sergeants, the lieutenants, the captains, the people that are on the foot patrol, they're still out there. That part does not change. That's where the majority of the corruption is. You know, every time we put a few more senators in, we put a few more congressmen in, the only way you could ever correct this in its totality is take everybody out and put everybody new back in. That's not going to happen. You know, I mean, I would love to see that happen because they're all corrupt. You know, they're all bought and sold. And I just want the people to understand, you know, this has just been per se delayed, and we need to stay as vigilant and prepared as we've ever been before. My fear is the church is going to go to sleep because they say, hey, we won a battle and everything is going to be all right. No, sir. The evil players are still in their roles and they're working. There's, you know, people say, well, you're just a conspiratist. You know, you're just one of those kooks. You're one of those quacks. It's a reality. It is a reality. This stuff is still going on. That's the reason we've saw such liberal enforcement of the laws of this nation to tear it down. And that's why America fits the bill of modern day Babylon. You know, we're losing our identity. You know, if you go to Iran or you go to Russia or Chinese, walk into their Walmart and see if you hear English on the intercom or you hear Chinese. They're not gonna acclimate to you. You acclimate to them, but our government is so mentally disturbed, you know, that they somehow think this is good. This is what we need. And of course we all know better than that, and I just want to encourage the people to keep praying, keep pressing in, because this mystery that is working is such a mystique. It's hard to put your hand on it. You know, if you don't read the Bible, you don't pray, you won't see it, you won't understand it. You know, John McCain the other day said that the New World Order is under great distress.
Yeah, it was about 10 days ago.
Yeah.
With John McCain.
Yeah. What is he talking about? You see, he's part of the problem. He's not a part of the solution. And, of course, they do want a third world war, and I'm not so sure that is God allowed Trump to go in. He's put together a cabinet of men that are military strategists, creating stratagems, and have the mindset to do this. You know, Tillerson said, you know, time's run out on, you know, North Korea. A defector said the other day, you know, old Kim, he's going to use nukes. Japan is in fear. South Korea is in fear. You know, and can you imagine in one day if a nuclear weapon is fired, what will happen to the financial world?
Yeah. And the, you know, the wars and rumors of wars that we see between the U.S. and North Korea is continuing to increase. North Korea launched a missile off the Sea of Japan, I believe it was yesterday. They also had another failed missile launch, and they've been threatening to, which is nothing new, the threats, but they've been threatening that their capabilities are strong enough to launch a missile and hit the U.S. mainland. And we saw a general come out a day or two ago and say that a military conflict may be the only solution to the North Korea situation.
It's bad.
And now we have the Syria gas attack, which, Pastor, we talked about a little bit in the first segment. But the timing of this is just so odd, and to me it feels like they're trying to put this on a sod to revamp the Middle East strategy that they had going before Trump came in. But that information is yet to be seen. That's just what I feel. But yeah, they're continuing to ramp up these wars and these conflicts. And you're right, it won't take much to cause a financial collapse or trigger some kind of you know, all these bubbles that we have ongoing, the student loan bubble, the auto loan bubble, the mortgage bubble, the stock market bubble. It might not take an economic event to put those triggers in place to spark something financially.
What did you say, Doug?
It's just how timely, you know, how timely this is, how well placed this is. Go ahead.
the people in America didn't realize the 8 years of what Obama did. He stretched all the rules. He enlarged the lawlessness. I mean, he created an unlimited, abounding lawlessness. He, right before he went out, he changed all the ways to disseminate the intelligence information. This was all by design, folks. This is what I'm talking about, a satanic order that is very well articulated, very well designed, very well planned. And, you know, regretfully, you know, the righteous, God's people are going to suffer because the world, as we know it, is living under a curse. That's why we die. That's why our bodies get diseased. That's why we get sick. We get old. We lose our hair. You know, our teeth. I had to have another broken tooth fixed today. This is three in the last 4 months. It's constantly something, because even though we're redeemed, the earth is by no means redeemed. You know, even Paul, the apostle, when he's writing to the church at Rome, in Romans 8 and 23, he said, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You know, I'm looking forward to the day of the redemption of this body, but that's not yet taken place. But the verse before that, he says, "The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The reason creation, and the word creation there in the Greek literally means every creature, you know, I think I shared this one time about a bunny rabbit. You know, it when it starts to get chased by a fox or whatever, its heart is palpitating, it's beating out of its chest. Why? Fear. That's the part of the curse. But when Jesus comes, you know, we understand that he's going to restore all of that. And that curse, that heinous curse of sin, where there's this beastliness, and regretfully, men have become just as beastly as animals are instinctively. You know, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, and in Isaiah 65 and verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw with the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat." So, you know, until we're out from underneath this curse, you're not going to see a wolf lay down with a lamb, because it's going to kill it. You're not going to see a lion. You know, I've often thought, how bizarre would that be to see a lion chewing hay like a cow or an oxen? I mean, you know, with those huge eye teeth that are so ferocious, you know, to tear meat, to grind meat, carnivorous. And yet, you know, even cows don't even have upper teeth. Cows just have a very sandpaper-like tongue, and when they eat grass, they take their tongue and they twist it around the grass, and they break off the grass, and they chew it with no teeth on the upper jaw, but they have teeth on the lower jaw, and they chew it, and they kind of crush it. That's why when you look at a pasture where there's cows, you see 2 and 3 inches of grass left on the soil. They go to a horse pasture, and a horse, because they have upper teeth and lower teeth, they'll nibble the grass all the way down to the dirt. So if in a horse pasture you don't have enough grass, they'll eat the grass all the way down to the dirt. But you'll never see that with a cow, because a cow has no upper teeth. And my point is, can you imagine how ferocious and carnivorous a lion or a leopard or a panther is? And then one day they're going to eat grass or straw or hay like a cow. But until then, this evil, sinister, vile wickedness that's, you know, none of us as Christians understand that world. We don't go there. We don't live there. Our thoughts do not go there to the perversion, the distortion, the things that we read about. You know, some years ago, Doug, I don't remember, I shared a program where this guy was dating this girl, and his daddy passed away, and his girlfriend could not make the funeral. But a year later, he still married her. A year after that, they had a child, and the child was born, and he allowed the child to get to be about 18 months old, and he murdered his own child. And in the interrogation, the police detective said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "Because before we were married, she did not attend my father's funeral, and I wanted to get even with her. And I knew if I let her have this baby and let her get attached to this baby, how bad it would hurt her if I then killed it." And I thought, you know, you're talking about a 3 to 4 year span of time. But his mind was that depraved that he could imagine, he could plot, he could plan something of that nature. I got the article right here in my desk. It was in Franklin, Indiana, and it talked about how this guy killed his own baby, Ronald L. Shannonberger, and he killed his own... Now, this is his own son. This is his own son. He did this. But he married her, and it says he got her pregnant. He allowed time for her to be bonded with the child and then took the boy's life. See, then after he told that story, he begged the officers, the detectives, to shoot him on the spot. But that they wouldn't shoot him. But I've kept that article in my top desk drawer as a reminder to me how deviant, how sinister, how vile, how wicked this mystery of iniquity that Paul the Apostle spoke of, and we've not reached the zenith of that yet, see, but the further and the greater the deception is what will ultimately bring forth the rise of the Antichrist. That verse in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, then shall that wicked be revealed." And, of course, I personally believe that he is Michael the Archangel. He steps out of the way. He allows the Antichrist to come on the scene. And then the Antichrist will have this great power that Satan gives to him. Satan did not possess Judas Iscariot, but Satan yielded to Satan's will. Satan is an angel. He's not a spirit. He is a creature. He cannot possess somebody. But his spirit is out, working in the earth, doing things. And so he's going to offer this power just as he offered it to Christ. He said, "If you will fall down and you will worship me," Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4, both chapters, he said, "I will give you the kingdoms of the world." Whoever this man is, he's going to accept Satan's deal and wholly yield himself to Satan, and Satan will give him this great power, this great authority. That's where it comes from. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Men and women who do not embrace Jesus, not Muhammad, not Islam, not Buddha, none of that other stuff. If you don't embrace Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you will be damned. Now, I know people say, "Well, that's just too hard." Well, let's go on in that passage. "For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I know that's not popular preaching to say God's going to damn people. And I know you're not going to hear that in your modern pulpits today. They don't preach damnation. They don't preach hellfire and brimstone. And if you preach like I do, you're considered, you know, out of date, out of style. You're not even in touch with reality. Reality is damnation, separation from God eternally. And people don't like to hear that. And I know we're close to the break. I'll give it back to you, Joe, and you can take us there.
And you, go ahead, Joe.
And you're very right about the damnation and the preaching, you know, of hell and of sin is absent from all, just about all TV preachers that I've seen. And it's far and few between in some of the churches that I've been to. And you're right, you know, this, you're out of date, they'll say. I mean, there's endless criticisms I can throw at you for not conforming to the current way of preaching and the way that they interpret the Bible. But there's something important that you said in there when you're quoting that Bible verse. All those who don't believe the truth is what it says. And that's where
that's
it
exactly
starts.
What
we're talking with Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com, also on Blog Talk Radio, The Voice of Evangelism. We'll be right back with him for our final segment of the evening. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either. But they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues. And so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changewithsomewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
How timely is Pastor Mike for his words, his teachings? You know, by the way, folks, the news, of course, of today, the Syrian chemical weapons attack, the chemical weapons attack in Syria. Joe just pointed out that the chemical weapons in Syria. Go ahead, Joe, if you want to.
Yeah, I got to confirm this, but apparently a U.S. firm contracted by the OPCW was to dispose of the Syrian chemical weapons stockpile, completed its disposal of 75 cylinders of hydrogen fluoride at a facility in Texas in 2016.
And you'll notice what President Donald Trump had said about the gas. He did not name the gas or the chemical. I found that very interesting. Normally it would be sarin. In this case, there's some legitimacy here, I believe, to that story in the context of President Donald Trump's statements. But nonetheless, we're talking with Pastor David Langford. Before we get to him, folks, visit and welcome to the family, Block It Pocket. You know, if you use a cell phone, if you use a laptop, if you use a smartphone, if you use a tablet, any type of electronic device, protect yourself, protect your health, protect your body, protect your data. My goodness, Block It Pocket has the answer. They've expanded their product line. Visit blockitpocket.com. That's B-L-O-C-K-I-T, pocket, P-O-C-K-E-T. .com, blockitpocket.com. Blockitpocket.com, they're the only data protection device electronic coverings that we use here at the Hagman Studio. It's well worth it. If you operate on that, my wife does this a lot. She'll have a laptop. She'll do business sitting on a chair or a couch with a laptop on her lap. Make sure, folks, you've got a Block It blanket, for example. BlockItPocket.com. They're the best of the best of the best. BlockItPocket.com, and make sure you tell them you heard it on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest, of course, is every Wednesday is Pastor David Langford. So much to talk about. Pastor, go ahead, sir. Continue on with your teaching.
Thank you so much. I want to go to Matthew 25, and I want to show you something that I ran across, stumbled across the other week. I believe it was last week, but Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. I want you to watch closely. We're all familiar with this story, with this future judgment that will come when Christ returns. But Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. I want you to remember that phrase, all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that would be the goat nations, Depart from me, ye cursed, into ever lasting fire. Everlasting is everlasting, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer also him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So in verse 46, these goat nations will be cast away into everlasting punishment. Their punishment will never cease. But the righteous, he's talking about nations here, verse 32, and before him shall he gather all nations. The righteous nations will go into life eternal. Now, this gives me a measure of hope for America in some degree, because when there's a calamity, we send naval ships, supplies, food, medicine, whatever. But I was thinking about nations like North Korea, Iran. These nations don't help anyone when they get into trouble. And as I was reading and pondering that, and before him shall he gather all nations, the scripture came to my mind in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I thought about all the nations in the world. I don't know all of the nations, of course, but I did think about North Korea. I did think about Iran. In the natural, if you look at these two nations, they do not feed hungry people. They do not clothe strangers. They do not visit people in prison and minister to them, but they put them in prison camps and torture them. And so, will there be anybody in North Korea saved? Will there be anybody in Iran saved? There may be a few. I wouldn't be totally saying there will be no one. But my point is, for the most part, entire nations are going to be lost because they are deceived. This is the problem when you won't allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. This is the problem in today's modern churches when preachers will not preach the whole counsel of God. They do not preach there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You never hear preachers talk about hell. They never talk about damnation. They never talk about separation from God. They never talk about sin. They never talk about punishment. Jesus said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. God's going to punish sin. Now, I know that's hard and that's crass, and people say, well, that's just not the kind of Jesus I'm serving. Well, Jesus said that. An apostle did not make that statement. Jesus Christ is the one that made that statement. Not just Peter, James, or John, or Jude, or anybody like that. But Jesus made that statement. And in the Greek says, it is torment. The punishment is torment. It is the vindictive character of punishment that satisfies the inflictor's sense of outraged justice. Justice. Jonathan Edwards' renowned message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Now, that wouldn't go over too well on television, folks. I'm telling you what the Greek word means for punishment. The predominant thought which satisfies the inflictor's sense of outraged justice as defending his own honor or that which has been violated concerning his guidelines or his laws. That's powerful. And so, entire nations. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and say nobody would be saved in North Korea. Nobody would be saved in Iran. There are underground churches. But we know that God is distinctly going to deal with nations. And the only reason, and this is the honest God's truth, the only reason America has gotten by is because we send out ships and boats and containers and airplanes and food and medicine because we have helped those who were sick. We helped those who were in prison. We tried to get people out of prison. You know, Obama didn't care about getting nobody out of prison, but most of the time people tried to work in our government to get people out. But this is the path that we're taking. And so when God vindicates his name and his righteousness, you know, nobody can say, well, nobody told me. Listen, everybody can have access to a Bible in America. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press. Yet the problem remains and lies within the pulpits. Not willing to tell the truth because telling people about damnation, about eternal destruction, eternal punishment, that doesn't go over well. And I know that doesn't go over well. But as one fellow said, you need to have the hell scared out of you. You need to realize that God one day is going to mete out judgment and justice, and if you're on the wrong side of the scales, you're in trouble. That's exactly the analogy he told Belshazzar. He said, thou hast been weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. You've been weighed, and your wickedness has far exceeded any goodness you've done, and the scales are tipped against you in judgment. And, you know, we talk about the lady that's blindfolded in the scales. Well, you know, God is the same way. He doesn't see if you're black or you're white or you're Asian or you're Russian or you're American. God doesn't see that. That's why God says, I look at a man's heart. I can tell you one thing, and we see that all the time with our politicians. They'll tell you one thing standing behind a podium and know without a doubt they're lying. Look at Susan Rice. What a lying, heathen hypocrite. That's all she does is lie. Benghazi,
preacher.
Unmasking these names. These people's lives are lies. I mean, look at Obama. I mean, that's not even who the man is. He has a Connecticut decedent's Social Security number. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. You know, it disturbs me. I know we've got a reprieve. We've got a break. But as I said, I believe it was last week, when God hits the pause button again, we're just 9 miles an hour away from exploding into obliteration. And the New World Order, don't think they're not plotting right now to circumvent this administration and to do something that will destroy so much and could lead us into a third world war. And they're all together in it. They're all together in it. But that's why we have to pray. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The powers of the air, Ephesians 2:2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. This is where he works, around the world, 24/7. And he works through men who yield themselves to him. You know, that's why we're told in Romans 6:12, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves therefore unto God. I can yield my lips to drink liquor. I can yield my lips to smoke crack. You know, I can yield my body and my members to commit adultery. I'm not to yield my members to unrighteousness. I'm to yield my members to God and what God wills. You know, and this is why it's important to cover our minds in prayer, because the devil is shooting fiery darts out of hell to disrupt our thoughts. You know, you've been sitting at a stoplight, and one of the most bizarre, weirdest thoughts came through your mind, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? That's a fiery dart from hell. That's a perversion. That's a distortion of reality. You know, and what happens to people who do not know Jesus and are not sealed by the Spirit of God, when those thoughts come into their minds, they react to them. Jeffrey Dahmer, can you imagine killing all those people and putting their bodies in barrels in acid? Who thinks about dismembering people and doing, who does that? Those are demon-possessed, demon-controlled people. And demon powers work in different ways. See, a demon can work supposedly in an element of civility. You know, Hitler feigned himself as civil, but beneath the civility, he was as wicked and vile and murderous as anyone could have ever been. But on the outside, no. You know, he didn't appear to be that way. And this is why discernment is so important today when we listen to our so-called leaders, you know. And if you'll listen closely, they always spill their heart somewhere along the line, just like Hillary Trump, you know, a basket of deplorables. Now, that's really what they think about us, folks. We're despicable, we're deplorable, because we don't murder children, we don't believe in murdering children, we don't believe in pedophilia, we don't believe in lying, we don't believe in cheating, we don't believe in any of this. But to them, hey, that's just everyday business. And if you don't believe like that, there's something wrong with you. And you've heard me say it, other than the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the highest level of authority in your life is your conscience. And if we all have a good conscience, fundamentally, our convictions should be very close to the same. And that's the trouble with the church world. You got lesbian pastors, homosexual pastors, church denominations that believe in same-sex marriage, church denominations that believe in abortion. Well, wait a minute. That's not the same Jesus in the Bible that I read. So somebody's got to be wrong. So Paul tells us, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Had a lady email me last week. They loaned out their church to a gay chorus choir of men. You know what? Had I been a member, yeah, I know this is crazy, I'd have probably walked up to the church steps with a shotgun and said, you're not going in this church. And to take my church and use it for a house of sodomy. People say, well, that's too erratic. No. We've become so pacifist in Jesus Christ. Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That pastor ought to be fired. That deacon board ought to be fired. Every one of them in that church that has any position of leadership ought to be thrown out and say, you're not going to give our church to a bunch of sodomites. This is God's house. But they won't say, and then if you say something, you're the nut, you're the kook, you're the quack, you're the idiot. You're not loving. That's not Jesus. I'm telling you, the only Jesus they want you to preach is John 3:16. But Jesus is a whole lot more than John 3:16. Jesus preached damnation and eternal punishment. But that, no, we don't want to hear that part of Jesus. See, you can't preach any harder than Jesus preached. I'm telling you, Jesus preached it straight. And he preached on hell more than anybody. But yet, you won't hear preachers talk about that. You know, as a pastor, a minister, I've conducted probably nearly 100 funerals. And when you're in my position, the greatest thought that I have especially when there's a question mark about the person's life. The question is, where are they? Where are they? Did they make it or did they not make it? If it's a Christian, it's a gravy funeral. You know, the people walk the walk, they talk the talk. But, you know, let's just say they got killed in a car accident or they overdosed on drugs like my son's boss man did 2 weeks ago. I'm not the judge, but I'll tell you, when you're put in that position to have to eulogize somebody of that nature, your first question is, it bears on your mind, I mean adamantly, where are they? Where are they? That's all I think about. You know, I preached two teenagers that got killed on motorcycles. The boy was driving, T-boned the car, killed both of them, him and her. You know, I told the girl, she was 15 years old, I begged her, please do not get on this motorcycle. His name was David. And three blocks of her house, he killed both of them. You know, I'm not the judge, and I'm not going to judge them. But my thought is, bearing on my conscience, where did they go? Because when you die, you don't cease to exist. Your body is just a jar. It's just a clay earthen vessel. But what's in you does not cease to exist. The rich man in hell. Jesus is the one that gave us that story. That's not a parable. Everybody wants to tell me that's a parable. Find the word parable in that story. You don't find the word parable. You want it to be a parable because you don't want it to be the truth. But it's a true story about a certain rich man and about a man named Lazarus. And so he tells us one died, went to Abraham's bosom. The other died, he went to hell. You know, and so I'm not saying this tonight to be hard. I want people to be sober. Because, you know, as a minister, I get phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. So-and-so just got killed. So-and-so just died. So-and-so overdosed. You know, I have to deal with this stuff. You know, a dear sister, just the other week, 2 weeks ago, her son put an outdoor grill in his bedroom, taped off the air vents, lit the grill, shut the door, and committed suicide through carbon monoxide poisoning. And left a letter and told his children to sell the house and et cetera, what to do. You know, I'm not the man's judge, but that was certainly premeditated. But that mother is, you know, I have talked to her on several occasions, the heaviness of her heart, you know, because this is a reality. You see, true Christians, you know, to hear Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama, everybody goes to heaven. But people who know the truth about the Bible, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But according to all these people, you know, when James Brown died, they said, oh, he died at Christmas time. It was Jesus' birthday. And so he wanted James Brown to come up and have a party. Huh. You know, I mean, how sick are we getting? It's crazy, folks. And this is the mystery of iniquity that's working. And if you're not careful, you'll get lured right into it and say, oh, God is so much love. Listen, we need to understand there's a day of judgment. Every man will appear before the judgment seat of God. I know, I regret it, but I've been in a court of law, and I was guilty, and I was sentenced to a year in prison, and he pardoned that. And gave me probation. This is years ago. Man, when he told me a year, man, I like to pass out. I wasn't but like 20 years old. I thought, my God, a year in prison. You know, the horror of standing in a court of law. You know, and there's a man sitting up there on a judge on a seat with a gavel, and all he does is rap the gavel and tell the bailiff, take him, lock him up. I mean, that's the way it's going to be at the judgment seat. Instead of a bailiff, he's got angels that are going to go seize these people and take them into everlasting darkness. Now, I know people say, well, God's not that cruel. It's not for eternity. It's not everlasting. Well, that's because you don't want to believe the truth. But the Bible is replete that it is eternal. It is everlasting. And I didn't mean to go this way tonight, but I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to wake somebody up and tell them to quit playing because, hey, you don't know what tomorrow might bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. And we need to be conscious. You know, Proverb 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hey, I'm 62 years old. I could have a heart attack tomorrow. I could have a hemorrhage tomorrow. I don't know. Nobody knows. But I do know this. We have an appointment with God, and you're going to make it. You don't call and say, hey, move my appointment to next week because I got my daughter's birthday party and my son's graduation, but I'll be there next week. No, no, it don't work like that with God. When God calls, we have to come. So we need to understand this mystery of iniquity, this lawlessness, folks. This lawlessness is working. And just because we got another president doesn't mean this undercover, this covert system is not still like leaven. It's still working. It's like yeast. It is still working in our midst. Amen. Mm. I know we're close to the end of the show, guys. I know that.
This is fantastic, and I think a lot of there are a lot of people who needed to hear this. I know. I feel good hearing this. This touched my heart. I needed to hear this, and I think everyone needs to hear this to some extent.
Well, you know, Doug, everyone needs to hear the truth. Now, you can take the truth and do what you want to with it. But, you know, you're a businessman. Joe, you're a businessman. There are many people listening tonight that are business people. Don't you want to know the truth about a decision you're going to make? If you're going to buy a piece of equipment, you're going to sign a contract, you're going to go into an agreement, don't you want to know the truth?
Amen. Yep.
You know, hey, I may not like the truth, but at least I know it. And then if I don't want to adhere to it, then that's nobody's fault but me.
That's right.
And God is so gracious to give all of us an opportunity to know the truth. And that's why he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you don't want to accept that freedom and that privilege and that right, that's your choice. I know tonight's been hard. But I always feel in my spirit, God is speaking to people for a reason. You may be on the fence, and God says, I got to get you off the fence. You got to get to the right side, because if I leave you there much longer, you're going to the left side. You're going to go to the wrong side, and that's the wrong way. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It might seem right in your eyes. But is it right in God's eyes? Is it right in the Word of God? That's the question. Is it right with God's Word?
And there it is. Pastor, thank you so very much. You've been a blessing. You are a blessing to us.
Well, thank you. And I hope people are getting something out of these Wednesday night programs. And I'm always going to try to do my best to share the Word of God. As I said, I don't have all the answers, but I promise you I'll try to give you the truth and give you what the Lord says. Amen.
Amen. And judging by the response we've been getting, a lot of people are getting a lot from your teachings and your information and inspiration. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Much.
You guys have a wonderful night and a great week. What's left of it, everyone?
All right. Bye. Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism, voiceofevangelism.com. Joe, it was a great program.
Yes, it was. And we got great programs planned for the rest of the week. And as John mentioned yesterday on the show, check our YouTube channel. There's going to be the latest Hagman Investigative Report with Stephen Menking posted there, which was an off-air interview.
Oh,
that was
you gave it away. I was going to ask Eric the tech about.
Well, John said it yesterday.
John said it yesterday.
So keep your eyes out for that. And tomorrow we got a great show lined up for you. Go to our HagmanReport.com, and there you can check out the week,
the old radio,
and then each day the daily schedule is posted on Hagman Report also. Have a good night, everyone.